This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet web radio broadcast. Broadcasting to the world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may dwell. And I wish the people in New Orleans could hear this and around New Orleans, because this broadcast has a lot to do with their fate. And also it has a lot to do with our own fate in the United States, in Canada, in Europe, and around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the conditions in New Orleans have deteriorated beyond belief. And there is increasing and mounting evidence that white people, European Americans in New Orleans, are being targeted by black mobs for rape, murder, robbery, and assault. This is not a joke. It's not a drill. It's reality. And I'm going to, in this program, quote a lot of the sources which show this to be a fact. Let me share with you the article I just posted. There may, in fact, be a typographical error or two. I appreciate Dave Cooper and Charles Lindbergh often go in and correct some of my pieces real quickly. I'm trying to put out a lot of quantity of material. Thank God for good proofreaders. But I've posted this thing rather quickly. It's a long article. I've been working on it for about 6 or 7 hours straight. We have a lot of great quotes in it. And now it's time to share it with you. Whites in New Orleans are facing rape and genocide at the hands of black mobs. You know, I can't believe that I'm writing these words. I'm always careful not to overstate things, not to exaggerate. I'm not exaggerating now. All the things I've written about and warned about for years are coming true in a great American city, a beautiful American city. In the very moments as you read these words. I lost my home since childhood in New Orleans, the waters to the attic. My daughter lost her car and all her possessions. Fortunately, we were not in New Orleans when the storm hit. Even with those heart-wrenching losses, my daughter and I are among the lucky ones. Many thousands of European Americans are not so lucky. They now face absolute terror. And because of a near press blackout, most people outside of the ones who are under siege don't even know that these white people are being racially targeted. The victims have no way to communicate their plight to the outside world. There's no electricity, no phones, any batteries, any cell phones, or any other equipment has gone. They are totally without communication of any sort. Many whites stayed in their homes because they were either too sick or infirm to leave, or simply because they had a suspicion that they would have to protect their homes from criminal elements, the same criminal element that makes New Orleans one of the most dangerous cities in America, even in times of relative calm. Even though the jails are always bursting with apprehended criminals, the only thing that has stood between having a situation like Somalia or Rwanda and was that thin blue line of police with high-powered weapons and the punishment that awaited a tsunami of potential lawbreakers. When the gasoline tanks in the police cars went dry, when the batteries went dead and their radios. When the lights and alarms went out in the streets, New Orleans turned into Somalia. And now white people are the brunt of racial attacks, murder, rape, and mayhem. I am not talking about the fact that whites are simply victims of indiscriminate black crime. I'm telling you that whites are being racially targeted for rape, assault, and murder. And it's not just me saying this. Even though you have to look hard to find it in our biased press, you can find the evidence in quotes on ABC News and from leading journalists around the world. In fact, the foreign press in America has reported it far more accurately than the American press has. The controlled media here is doing everything it can to hide the racial component to the robbery, rape, and murder. Still, Americans watching the spontaneously shot videos are gradually beginning to get the idea. Here's an excerpt from the Manchester Evening News in the United Kingdom. There's a typo that needs to be fixed, by the way. British students reported the horror of death and rape. The early morning blasts were a few miles south of the French Quarter and jolted residents awake. The extent of any possible damage was not immediately known. The explosions came as British students, caught up in the horror of Hurricane Katrina, spoke of their 4 days of hell at the New Orleans Superdome. They described how their place of refuge descended into a scene of terror as people ran wild with knives and guns, used crack cocaine, and hurled racial abuse. Tourists, meanwhile, were turned out of hotels to face terror on the streets. Debbie Durso of Washington, Michigan, said she asked a police officer for assistance, and his response was, "Go to hell. It's every man for himself." Up to 30 British students huddled among the thousands in the Superdome were forced to set up a makeshift security cordon to fend off abusive locals. Now, of course, locals is obviously a code word for the black mob. Jamie Trout, 22, an economic student from Sunderland, kept a record of his terrifying ordeal. He wrote, "It was like something out of Lord of the Flies. One minute everything is calm and civil, the next it descends into chaos. A man has been arrested for raping a 7-year-old in the toilet. This place is hell. The smell is horrendous. There are toilets overflowing and people everywhere." Jamie, who has been coaching football to disabled children as part of his Camp America scheme, said people were shouting racial abuse at the Britons because they were white. And this from Australian journalist, as printed in a major Australian news service, news.com.au. Hurricane's Trail of Anarchy. Here's the first paragraph, a paragraph that wouldn't dare to be printed or written in the American press. Explosion, fire on the east side of New Orleans. Thousands of U.S. National Guardsmen were heading for New Orleans last night with orders to shoot to kill as armed African-American gangs terrorized the city devastated by Hurricane Katrina. Quote, "Police escorted a group of white tourists, including Australian Anthony Hopes, 30, away from the Superdome after they were subjected to race threats. The tourists are now under armed guard in the foyer of the Hilton Hotel." Now, ladies and gentlemen, nothing about this appeared in the American press. It's been very reluctant to even identify the criminals as African Americans, but if you scan the American press, you can quickly discover the racial hatred and the violence that's going on against white people. And here's another excerpt from an AP story, "Thousands Still Stranded as Chaos Reigns." This is by Dave Davies and Catherine Lucy. It also appeared in Philly.com. Police Chief Eddie Compass said there was such a crush around a squad of 88 officers that they retreated when they went to check out reports of assaults. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if 88 officers retreated from trying to deal with assaults. What happens to the individual white people on the street? Quotation. Here's a quotation. We have individuals who are getting raped. We have individuals who are getting beaten, Compass said. Tourists, now read white people, are walking in that direction and they're getting preyed upon. Colonel Henry Whitehorn, chief of the Louisiana State Police, said he heard of numerous instances of New Orleans police officers, many of whom from flooded areas, turning in their badges. Here's some quotes compiled by ABC News. You can find them on the ABC News site. In quotes, chaos in New Orleans. New Orleans descended into chaos in the wake of the devastating Hurricane Katrina, following our quotes about the situation on the ground. Baron Duncan, describing the time he spent inside the Superdome. Dome. Quote, the last few days were utter hell. The stench was unbearable. We were treated like animals. There was shooting. Our lives were in danger. A 7-year-old girl and an 8-year-old boy got raped. Audrey Jordan, who sought refuge in the Superdome. We are lost. We are tourists. Read White. We don't know how to get around, how to protect ourselves. It's like being in a jungle. People are staring at us, waving clubs when we walk through one inner city neighborhood. I was scared. For the first time in my life, I thought I would die. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. You know, here are these people terrified out of their minds, being attacked, rapes going on, being shot at, being hurled with racial abuse, and some people are going to call me a hater for simply telling you what's going on and saying that this is wrong and this should not be tolerated and that there should be an outcry against this. Let me go on. This is again from the ABC website. Australian woman, Kelly Ray Smith, whose parents are hiding on a road overpass with 40 other tourists. Now, tourists, that means white people, essentially, in other terms. After their hotel was flooded, Australian woman, Kelly Ray Smith, whose parents are hiding on a road overpass with 40 other tourists after their hotel was flooded. Quote, the violence is escalating. There are shootings. We have 3 dead bodies at the bottom of the stairwell where they are. They have a payphone with We have to strategically plan when we go to it. There is so much violence going on. Even the SWAT team has locked themselves in their building. Ladies and gentlemen, now think about this. This is in major areas. This is in areas where reporters were when the story got out. What about the remote areas of New Orleans? My God, ladies and gentlemen, this is genocide against white people going on right now. CNN reporter Chris Lawrence, this is another quote from ABC, is holed up with a group on the roof of a police station in the middle of New Orleans. Right now, it's the only safe place to be in the city. We're on the street earlier, but the police said under no circumstances would you be safe on the street. They said anybody walking in the streets of New Orleans basically is taking their life in their hands. As they hustled us off the street, some of the officers told us that groups of young men had been looting the city, shooting at people, attempting to rape young women. They directed some of the young women to get off the street immediately. This is from Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco, again from the ABC website. Again, they don't talk about this on their lead stories in ABC News, but you can find these things buried. 300 of the Arkansas National Guard have landed in the city of New Orleans. These troops are fresh back from Iraq, well-trained, experienced, battle-tested, and under my orders to restore order in the streets, they have M16s and they're locked and loaded. These troops know how to shoot and kill, and they are more than willing to do so if necessary, and I expect they will. And ladies and gentlemen, the fact that this happened has a lot to do with the fact that we were in Iraq in this fake and phony war for Israel rather than having these troops at home for national emergencies, which the National Guard, by the way, has been used for years and years in America. Also, the enormous money spent on this damn war kept there from being the kind of improvements of the levees that would have saved my city. A police officer who asked not to be identified. Another quote from ABC. Police were raped. People were raped in the Superdome where refugees were living. People were killed in there. We had multiple riots. Here's Dr. Andrew Sandler working at a hospital in New Orleans. Quote, it's very easy to get from our point to the bridge that can get us out of here. The problem is that the buses that have been ordered that were supposed to come here today, two were commandeered by FEMA, and on the other four, they were told it wasn't safe for them to evacuate us because of the snipers. With 60 residents, the average aged 87, that had not had air conditioning in 5 days, three have died, and another eight, no matter how much water we give them, could expire because it's too hot for them. The variable I hadn't planned for are the snipers. In fact, nobody would give them buses. They won't let the buses get us out. Ladies and gentlemen, is this America or is this Mogadishu or Kampala? My God, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, there is food in the city. There are National Guard troops. There are people with food and water. Nobody is necessarily going to die from thirst, except maybe in some of these nursing homes, but they can't get to the nursing homes because of these savages who are shooting at the police rescue helicopters, at the ambulances, at the trucks. They were shooting at some of the huge military helicopters. It's just incredible. Now here's a piece from the New York Daily Post. Let me share this with you. The guardians of the public order in Katrina-ravaged New Orleans, where mobs of gunmen openly loot and rape and carjack and busjack and peg shots at police officers and soldiers at will, and where anarchy, Mogadishu style, is just around the corner. If they're not stopped hard and fast, must regain control immediately. They must do whatever it takes to curb the hardcore armed violent felons who are making it impossible to save the city. These are a very different breed from the desperate citizens who are trying to get food and water. Amen, ladies and gentlemen. They certainly are of a different breed. Let's go further. Who's in charge? Random lawlessness went unaddressed in the early hours of Katrina's aftermath. Search and rescue clearly being more pressing a concern. That was then. Today, New Orleans is spinning wildly out of control as armed-to-the-teeth killers carve out post-apocalypse gangdoms with little fear of consequences. The critically ill are under siege in hospital beds. The elderly are driven from nursing homes. Snipers fire at evacuation points. These are budding warlords. The city must be taken back from them. The members of this lawless army need to know their own lives are in danger. Ladies and gentlemen, this is happening in an American city right now. And again, the media. The controlled media in the United States of America is not telling the truth. This is from the Independent newspaper in UK, and they mention this fact. Quote, the potential for racial conflict has quietly been sidestepped in much of the U.S. media coverage to date, but it is also impossible to ignore. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's impossible for us to ignore, obviously, but it's certainly not impossible for the media to ignore, and they try to at every point. They keep telling us. They keep offering excuses. Oh, these are people who are starving. You don't worry about it. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot of communities with very little food and water. We've had great crises in Japan and other places around the world, in Europe before, where people in that community work together. You know, let me tell you, if you had a crisis like this in Sweden, nobody would be shooting police cars, ambulance, and rescue helicopters. I mean, can't people get that through their mind? You know, if this happened, you know, in some rural part of Iowa, nobody would be out there shooting up police officers and rescue vehicles. Nobody would be going into nursing homes and driving out the elderly. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, it would not be happening. Yes, there are some weirdos among our people, no question about it. And there are more and more because of this insane, evil Hollywood media that stresses no sort of morality and no sort of honor. And we're being reduced to the level of many other societies around the world every day. But still, in spite of all that, this is not the conduct of our people. This is the conduct you would find in Africa today, or Somalia, or some other land, not the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the future. The chaos, the inhumanity, the brutality worsens day by day. The government was prepared for mass hunger and thirst, and for days before the hurricane, formal government reports predicted a nightmare scenario of Lake New Orleans. But the government officials weren't prepared for the citizens to be shooting at rescue helicopters, police literally besieging police stations, mass robbing and raping and murdering of innocent civilians, many of whom came to help. They had expected the citizens of New Orleans to act like human beings and endure hardship and take care of themselves and each other the best they could, to pull together in the midst of deprivation and loss. But they were wrong. They were dead wrong. But their mistake now is costing the lives of many, many innocent people. Now, not all the people of New Orleans are acting like savages. But unfortunately, there are significant numbers of the African-American community behaving that way. Sorry, but I have to call it as it really is, and not with some politically correct jargon spouted by too many of the media reporters and politicians. Many white people just don't get it either. In the midst of media hiding the anti-white component in all this, many decent white folks took their boats and headed into New Orleans to help the people stranded by the flood. Most of the people they helped were, in fact, African Americans. They didn't realize that they'd likely run into heavily armed thugs who would murder them and steal their boats, just as they have done to countless auto drivers in the city. Many now are reported missing. Their bodies may never be found in the destructive sewage-laden waters and the refuse that's left at the end of this crisis. Boat jacking will now likely enter the vernacular of America, much like the African American specialty of carjacking. If the events of horror described above by so many reporters and so many eyewitnesses in places of lots of people with police, National Guard people present, you can be sure it's happening on a far more massive scale in the remote and cut-off parts of New Orleans. There's no reasonable doubt about that. And if the blacks are screaming racial epithets at the whites and attacking whites and raping whites in these other sections, you can be sure where there's no police and there's no National Guard and there's nobody to even watch them or film them, you can be sure this is going on a catastrophic, intolerable level. Another thing we know from this crisis is that we must rely upon ourselves, only ourselves. The white lady tourist who was told by the policeman that he couldn't help her because it was every man for himself is indicative of what we face in the future. The mass desertions of the heavily minority New Orleans Police Department is indicative of the future as well. We must begin to rely on ourselves for our own family's welfare, and that means we must unite. We must unite together in a common community and a common faith. Our hearts go out to our brethren in New Orleans, and I know I have friends there right now. And my hopes are with, I grew up in that city, and my hopes are with those whom I know that are now going into parts of New Orleans by boat, heavily armed, of course, for self-defense, to come to the aid of white people who now face the greatest terrors that can confront a human being. And the media is silent, and the political leaders are silent. I and other belittled leaders of our movement and of our people are almost the only honest voices about the racial nature of this crisis. If my words would have been heeded, and other words of other comparable white leaders around America, this incomparable human suffering would not be happening. If instead of getting 65% of that white vote in Louisiana for senator or governor, maybe we would have started a huge trend and saved this country and saved this state where this couldn't have happened. But, ladies and gentlemen, if our words would have been heeded, the storm would have taken a lot of property and taken a few lives. But you see, nothing can equal the brutality and death of man's inhumanity to man. That's been proven time and time again. Hurricane Katrina has blown away with her fierce winds and raging floods the lies of multiculturalism, the lies of egalitarianism. She has exposed the underlying danger to our people that is growing like a slow-moving tsunami across the European American world. My God, may our people understand the warnings that we have been given. May we awaken in time. Unless these words are heeded quickly and intelligently, courageously and committedly by the best of our race, the atrocities happening in New Orleans will eventually come to all of us, wherever we may dwell in America or on this planet. Unless we act to preserve our homelands now, it will come more certainly than the wind and the rain, the storm, or any ravage of nature. The greatest damage in New Orleans was struck by the ravages of nature, but not of the wind or of the water, but of the nature and the breeds of men. Some will say that I feel no sympathy for the decent black folks who have suffered in New Orleans as well. The truth is, I feel sympathy for everyone who suffered in this catastrophe, who have comported themselves like decent human beings, and that includes the African Americans of that city. But frankly, right now, my greatest focus must be on my forlorn and forgotten brothers and sisters who face terror and racial genocide. Imagine for a moment that after a natural catastrophe, that whites were mass murdering, robbing, and raping blacks while shouting racial abuse. What would be the response in the media and across the world? The media, the entertainment stars, the government spokesmen from one end of this planet to the other would be moaning this racism and demanding an end to it. But what do we have today but a deafening silence? I am determined to break that silence. And I'm breaking that silence by these words. And you, in turn, by spreading these words, both this audio tape and physical text on the web around the world, you too will take a part in breaking the silence. The world must know of this racial genocide going on against white people in New Orleans and demand its end. As I told you, if blacks were being attacked by whites, there would be a huge outcry. Are white lives any less important when they're attacked by black marauders? And for once and for all, whites must understand, in the starkest terms, that we are in a great struggle for our survival, not only in the city of New Orleans, but wherever we live in the world. God bless you all, and may God save the people of New Orleans. This has been Representative David Duke, President of Euro, European American Unity and Rights Organization. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you're as moved by hearing it as I am by sharing it with you. It's almost something I think about my city, and I think about my memories there, and I think about many friends who I haven't heard from and who I don't know how they are, and it's difficult. But it's nothing compared to what will come if we don't act soon and intelligently and courageously. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's see if we can handle some of the Stormfront posts and get some more connection here. Okay, Stars and Bars says, great to have you back, safe and sound. And yes, I'm glad to be safe and sound, and I'm glad that I escaped some of the actions that took place in Sweden, the bombing. But I feel like it's almost ridiculous for me to complain about whatever I faced when there are so many of our people that are facing so much worse right now in the beautiful, historic, and magnificent city of New Orleans. A story of really great history and great heritage. You know, I grew up studying about the Battle of New Orleans, about how a very few loyal Louisianians and other Kentucky squirrel fighters and others who stopped an overwhelmingly powerful British force in the War of 1812. And even though the war was supposedly over, the British would have won that battle. The whole war may have been restarted and even turned away from the establishment. And it could have caused an early abortion of the American Republic. I remember the terrible struggle the people, the white people of New Orleans, went in the Reconstruction period. A Beast Butler, who was making even the white women on the street salute and to bow before a lot of the African American rowdy troops there. The rapes that went on, the assaults, and the deaths that took place of the courageous white men who fought in the Battle of Canal Place to overthrow the carpetbag government. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great city. It's got great architecture. It's a repository of great art and architecture of European mankind. And to see it going through these throes, and to see the people here, and many of them are such beautiful people and wonderful people. They're some of the most loving people, I think, in this country. New Orleanians and Southerners in general, they just have a great love for life. Many of them are the Cajun folk, you know, who grew up in the bayous. They didn't have really much to do but to play musical instruments and sing together, and they have a sense of community and spirit, and always the greatest food. I mean, the greatest food in the world is there in New Orleans. Great, great people. And to see and understand their agony, it's incredibly difficult for me at this point. Well, maybe it should be, though, ladies and gentlemen, because, you know, that's the only way that we're going to save our people. And I've said this before so many times. You know, it's going to take a tremendous outpouring of passion from our people. That's the only thing that can save us at this time. That's the only possibility that we have for renewal. And I know that passion is in me, and I hope that my work, you know, can somehow bring it forth in you, and touch you with what's so important for our people. You know, this incredible issue. This is from Sherlock, and he says, "Dear David and friends, I'm so sorry to see what happened to your beloved state of Louisiana. I'm disgusted to watch the monstrous behavior of the hordes of black criminals. Can you recommend a relief agency to donate to? I'm reluctant to send money to the Red Cross after what they did during 9/11. Donations were used for other purposes. How about the Salvation Army? They are a great, old, reliable Christian organization. I'm open to any suggestions. Thank you, David, for standing strong all these years. You warned the world, and we are seeing your predictions in all its horror. Have you contacted by Fox News to be a regular commentator during the weeks ahead? You should be. You're in my thoughts and prayers." That's from Bill. Well, Bill, I don't think Fox News is going to contact me. They don't want my spin on this. That's for sure. But I am thankful that you're out there and that you're trying to do something on this. Um, I got a nice little hate mail here. It says, she says, this is from Minnie Patton. She says, I'm outraged by your comments that absolutely no one's starving. No one's dying for a stay, perhaps a few hopelessly trapped in the attics from the risen waters. Well, you know, when I wrote that, that was true. The storm was only 2 days old anyway then. Nobody was dying at that point from food and water. But they sure the hell are dying now. And you know why? I'll tell you why. It's because of this inhuman behavior, this brutal inhuman behavior by so many African Americans in this city who have no respect for human life. That's why people right now are starving and dying, because they can't get the help they need because people are shooting at helicopters and shooting at ambulances. Whew, man, these people are crazy. Here's one from Will. He says, he's writing from Vancouver, Canada. He says, I can't believe what's happening. We need to rise to the occasion and put these criminals back in their place. Stay safe. Our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family. So appreciate that, Will, very much. This is from, let's see, let me get the last thing here. It's Robert. He says, I hope this missive finds you in fine health and soaring spirit. Well, my spirit's not soaring right now at all, but I'm in decent health. Well, whilst your regrettable material losses represent an impediment to the dissemination of the truth in the immediate future, the lesson of New Orleans will not soon be forgotten by thinking men and may even help light the fires of race cultural renewal among our people. Watching CNN as I type this letter, I notice that the relief workers finally pouring into the city of New Orleans are fully armed and outfitted for combat, obviously anticipating a scene straight out from the film Black Hawk Down. If this is not evidence of the failures of a multicultural social contract, nothing is. What a fine letter this is, ladies and gentlemen. In times of painful lesson, attention, and vulnerability, some men overcome and others succumb. As a people, we have always had our share of chaff among the wheat. However, the utterly senseless barbarity being displayed in the streets of New Orleans, in the bathrooms of the Superdome, is a product of alien mental facilities. It represents a baseness of spirit and deficiency of character that can only be characterized as subhuman. Trying to make sense of this utter savagery in Louisiana, I'm reminded of the words of Rudyard Kipling. The stranger within my gates, he may be evil or good, but I cannot tell what powers control, what reasons sway his mood, nor when the gods of his far-off land shall repossess his blood. We have not only invited the stranger inside our gate, we have given him the keys and suggested he keep watch himself. How long will we allow Jewish supremacists to subject our families to the vagaries of the non-white African temperament? I saw a photograph on CNN last evening that really brought home the message. The flooded street was littered with Negroes floating their recently looted possessions in plastic tubs in front of them, while dimly lit in the foreground stood a towering statue of a Confederate soldier holding a rifle. Why does his spirit sleep, brother, and what can we do to revive it? All the best, Robert. P.S., he says, I wish it were feasible for me to send a donation to Euro, but I'm a starving undergrad whose tuition is overdue as it is. Well, Robert, you don't need to send anything. I'm just so thankful for that wonderful letter. And it's a fantastic, fantastic letter. This is a gentleman named Jake. He says, I was born and raised in Washington Parish, Louisiana, now over in California. My dad, Jerry, used to eat with you at Bolle's restaurant in Covington. I've always seen things from your perspective as far as our rights go. Now it seems we're on the verge of a big racial conflict. I would like to get back with me as soon as you have a chance to. We can discuss a few recruiting matters. I will follow you wherever you go. If you need me, I'll be there. That's from Jake. Thanks, Jake, and I look forward to hearing from you. So much here. This is from France. He says, Mr. Duke, I hope you're fine. I hope you remember me. I sent you an email a few months ago. I have much to say to you. You're a hero. You're on the light way. I think about you every day. You're an example of courage and humanity. I listen to you every day. Thank you very much. And by the way, this individual, I think, I believe he's Middle Eastern. His name is Jaffer. So he may not even be Northern European, but he sees the logic anyway, I guess, in what I'm saying. Oh, this is interesting, and this is a negative email, and this is someone it's not a big deal. In fact, I wrote a response. I'd like to share that with you, but I'm probably going to do that tomorrow because it's not exactly on. This is from an African, Buzin. He says, thought my subject title would catch your attention. And he said, Dear David from Africa. I'm an African in Africa. I'm browsing over the net and happen to have come across your website. What the hell are you on? Crack? Because it certainly seems like it. I don't want to take the same story as many people have about us being shut out from white society, that we as darkies, slave, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know the story. Give us the old white slavery and, this 100-year-old stuff, then they can excuse anything, right? This is from Gerard from Australia. Again, this program is so worldwide, and it's getting so many people around the world that are paying attention to it. And, of course, our program's not on tomorrow, obviously. I don't know if Bob Whitaker is going to be on tomorrow or not, and maybe someone can inform our Stormfronters about that, in the town hall about that, because he's retiring from his website. But it's so this program, I hope this will be archived, and I'll also archive that separate story, because I think maybe it was one of the better verbal statements that I've ever made. This is again from Australia. He says, Dear Mr. Duke, I've been watching the events unfold in the aftermath of Katrina from the safety of my home in Melbourne, Australia. To say that I'm shocked and horrified by the sheer savagery of the African-American population is an understatement. However, what I think has shocked me most is the realization that for all intents and purposes, Louisiana might as well be deepest, darkest Africa. Australians receive a very distorted view of America. For instance, I would imagine most Australians would be unaware of the illegal immigration crisis your country currently faces. However, this crisis has brought into focus, like no event before, the very real problem that white Americans face with your non-white populations. If there's a silver lining to this traumatic event, it's the hope that our people finally realize that we must separate ourselves from the non-white populations and conduct any future affairs with them in a respectful but an arm's length basis. I hope you and your loved ones are safe and that the whites of Louisiana will unite and help their community to meet the current difficulties and those yet to come. Gerald, I thank you, and I'm sure the people of my communities thank you. And by the way, we don't have massive flooding where I live, but we have many friends in St. Tammany. And by the way, the question the individual had about, relief, we will try to get a list together of people who've suffered direct losses, families that we know, especially those that are in the movement. And by the way, there's a lot of them in this area. There were 40,000 people on the mailing list in Louisiana during my gubernatorial and senatorial campaign. It's a lot of good people. And as we find out their names, I'm not going to take any money in our offices for this, but what we'll try to do is we'll get out the names and addresses. And those of you that want to do some charity relief, then you can send money directly to needy families. I think that's a great idea, and I'll ask James and I'll ask Don Black to also participate in this. Let's and contact James and Don about this, and let's start a system on the net where we'll start taking down names and addresses of individuals in Louisiana or Mississippi who are supporters of our movement who've suffered severe losses in this catastrophe. I would say white people in general, ladies and gentlemen, but I don't know. I think there's going to be plenty of numbers, even people in our movement. And let me tell you, our movement right now is the most important thing, because our movement, I believe, the success of it will determine whether all of our people survive in this country and around the world or whether they don't. We certainly can offer other white people who are in very, very dire need as well, but we can set that up. And again, we don't want to take any money. I don't want to become a money distribution network. I don't want to even touch any money. But what we can do is put names and addresses down of families, and we can check them out and see what their needs are and find out if their needs are legitimate. And then once we do that, we can give you their name and address and how you can contact them and how you can personally send them a check or money order, and give some decent families some help and support. This is another letter from Australia. Dear Mr. Duke, I hope your home and property survived the ferocious storm. Well, partially they did, and one home is up to the roof of the water. I'm glad you didn't have to live through it, but I hope your friends and family are all okay. I heard that Negroes were shooting at rescue helicopters. Also, they're making their way up to Baton Rouge and pretending to ask residents for directions and attacking the white homeowners. This I heard from a resident who was talking to Alex Jones live on his radio show last night. And the lady has been shot in the face standing in a doorway of her damaged home near Baton Rouge. He also reported that little kids, even babies, have been raped at the football arena. Yes, sir. And I think most of what you say there is absolutely a fact. This is not a drill. This is not a movie. This is not a novel. This is real life. These are our people suffering by the thousands. This is from one of our detractors. I just finished reading your disgusting write-up about the situation in New Orleans. Just so you know it, it was linked in a message board I frequent. I would never seek out your garbage. The article is one of the single most racist and disgusting pieces of garbage I have ever read. You should be ashamed. The people in New Orleans have nothing. They had little to nothing before this tragedy. Now they have absolutely nothing. For you to write such things is outrageous. Yes, everyone is entitled to their opinion, but yours is appalling. You are a complete a-hole. And he says that in fully spelled out words. A truly embarrassed and pissed off American. Well, sir, where is your anger and where is your response? Where is your anger at those people who are raping individuals, who are murdering innocent individuals, who are shooting at people kind to help, come help, who are pushing children out of hospitals, who are pushing elderly out of nursing homes? Don't you think that's where your indignance should go? Not to me for criticizing what these animals and these people who've engaged themselves, and I'm not talking about all African Americans, to make it clear, but those people who've engaged themselves in this behavior have done to innocent people. That's where your anger should be applied. And the fact that you want to talk about me and criticize me and call me an a-hole just shows and proves how insane maybe you are the media, are the media creations that have so poisoned your mind and I guess so many other minds. This is another good one. This is from Nancy, and she says, "Hello, my name is Nancy. I'm writing you tonight to let you know that you and your family, as well as many of our brothers and sisters, are in my thoughts and prayers in lieu of this horrible devastation that's occurred in your home state and surrounding areas. My husband and I were watching a news special last night about the devastation, and I was horrified by what I saw. Houses and buildings destroyed and the streets filled with water. I'm disgusted by the amount of looting and further destruction of property to the point where the citizens feel it needs to be taken in their own hands to stop it. My intention was to write you after I finished my awakening to tell you how much I've been truly awakened by that book. I found it so informative. The information is about things I've never learned in school or anywhere else for that matter. I've wanted to give you a full report of my thoughts in the book, but now I feel it's more important to send you an email at this time. I hope that things would get back to order for you, your family, and coworkers soon. I know that if we lived closer and could manage it, my husband would be there to help you rebuild. He's handy with carpentry and things. Heck, if I could drive a nail without pounding my thumb into the 2x4, I would help you too. Again, just wanted to let you know that you all are in our thoughts and prayers as you embark on this arduous journey. Your hard work will not be without great reward." Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's about it. I'm going to go to the storm front and see if there's any new posts there. And of course, naturally, we've gone way over time, but I guess tonight deserved it. And this program will be running all weekend until our Sunday show. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot more to report on Sunday. If things continue to heat up, then ladies and gentlemen, I'll come back on tomorrow. I guess it's important for us to have white media informing you and the world of what's going on. This is from Spartan. He says this is on the town hall section. He says, I just want to let you know that I support you 100% in your work and sacrifices for making a difference. I just returned from a year-long tour in Afghanistan, and I shared your book, Jewish Supremacists, with my fellow soldiers, and they were very receptive. The word is getting out. Well, that's great, Spartan, and I'm glad you came home to us safe and sound. And I know now you will be a great warrior. Now that you're home from your military duty in Afghanistan, I know you'll be a great warrior of mind and spirit for our people in educating your friends and family and helping be a leader in the effort for our survival as a people. I will close with one last post on stormfront.org, the town hall section. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I look forward to getting your emails at info2@davidduke.com. That's info2@davidduke.com. And your posts on Stormfront Thread. I guess this is becoming one of the biggest posting places now in the hurricane. And please offer your threads, your comments, your information. Let's share and pool information. This is a crisis time for our people. And I will close with one last Stormfront post. It's a short one, but it is absolutely correct. This is from Wake Up, and he writes, tomorrow is now. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is now. The things we've talked about for years and warned of are happening at these very moments to our brethren in the city of New Orleans. May God help them. May God bless all of you. And let's rededicate our lives and our time to getting this story out. This program is now over, but your work, I hope, has just begun. Get a post for this program on thousands of, each one of you can do hundreds, if not thousands, of posts. Just copy them over on websites. Email it to webmasters of different organizations or the contact addresses of different corporations and organizations. Go to forums. Go to a lot of forums and say, I just read David Duke's website where he said so-and-so. Isn't this terrible? And then give a link. That's one of the best tactics you can use. Let me tell you, that will get it out. And people will say, oh, people, will, they can't resist. They hear that David Duke says something or something outlandish. Whether they're for, even if they're totally against us, they'll come out and read it, and maybe a few of them who can finally think for themselves, maybe they'll do something. So the opportunity is now, ladies and gentlemen. Take it. You know, take some time. There are people in New Orleans. You can't, most of you cannot now go to New Orleans. You can't get in a boat and rescue our people. We can certainly try to put pressure on government to get National Guard and military in there to protect our folks in that area. And we must do that. But one thing you can do, the most effective and important thing you can do, you can go to work right now for the next 6 or 7 or 8 or 12 hours or hell, 24 hours straight if need be. And post to hundreds of places, every forum available on the web, every website, every leader, every individual, every person. Post this article. Take an excerpt from the article. As I said, go to many sites and say, oh, I just read this thing on davidduke.com. It's so horrible. You should see this. This is terrible. This should not be allowed. You know, this is proof that David Duke is a terrible racist. That's a great way to do it. Whatever you need to do, ladies and gentlemen, get this material out there. You can do it. It's up to you. I'm doing everything I can do. And so are so many other people in the movement. The responsibility comes upon you. You've got to take personal responsibility for whether we win or whether we lose this fight. You have a personal responsibility for the survival of your people. Not only the people in New Orleans, but for our people everywhere. So make a point to go to work. Complaining about things, throwing back a few beers, you know, singing a few white power songs, all that's fine, ladies and gentlemen. The time and place for everything. But the only way we're going to win this battle, the only way we're going to win this struggle for our existence with lots of just bone-tiring, weary work, I know, because I've been doing it for a long time now. And I'm doing all that I can. And my heart is heavy tonight. And it's night where I am. It's after midnight now in Far Eastern Europe. But my heart and my head and my feelings are back with my friends and my family. and the people that are so close to me back in Louisiana. I also wish the best of luck to James, who is right now living in one of those facilities. The facility got three huge trees that fell upon it, but it is livable, believe it or not. It's not too bad of a climate down there. He has no electricity, and it's a difficult time getting on the internet. Appreciate his efforts, and I'm glad that he's there. And we're going to make a big effort to get out the DVDs this weekend, or certainly in the next 3 or 4 days. No, people are waiting for them. We're doing everything we can. We have no phones. Not there's some places that have some scattered phones, but we don't have phones in the main office. We don't have power. The post office is not even open yet. You can send mails. I know the post office will keep it. It's not in danger in this part of the world. I'm sure it's routed away from New Orleans. We need your letters. We need your cards. We need you to remember us right now. And we need your support. And all of our people need it. But more importantly, we need your activism for this cause. Please don't let one more second go without helping support this effort. That's about it. I'm going to close it, and I'll see you either tomorrow or Sunday, maybe even tomorrow with a special program. Keep your friends informed and inform everyone about what's going on. And this latest article, I think, on DavidDuke.com, it's being proofed right now by my good friend and faithful comrade, great guy, Dave Cooper. He's going to take out some of the typographical errors. I rushed it into print, and I see a lot of errors. As I read it, I saw errors. Feel is F-E-L-L, fell, and things like that. And I appreciate David doing that and cleaning it up a little bit for me, which enables me to move on to other articles, other research, and the ability to keep our people informed of this crisis, this genocide that's going on against our people in the once great and beautiful city of New Orleans. Bye-bye now.
This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.